You have your Bibles this morning. If you would, let's go to Judges. Chapter 6 of Judges. And you that are able to stand with me, when you get there, we'll stand and read the Word of God. When we get to verse 12, if you would read verse 12, we'll start verse 11. The Bible says, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for being able to draw truth from your Word that will help us today. And we are grateful for men like Gideon that obeyed, Lord, your call and went and delivered a nation. Now, Father, this morning, you know this old nation is in a heap of trouble. You know, our Father, that we have departed from the living God. And you know, Lord, that we have allowed so many other gods to come into our country. Lord, here today, we suffer from that. And as, Lord, we oftentimes under the oppression of those that are over us, I pray this morning that you would help us to know that there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to realize, our Father, that as you have called Gideon, you have called us as well. May as a church of the living God, may our Father, that we be militant. May we stand forth and may we be good soldiers of the cross this morning. And we'll thank you for all you do. Help us to glean some truths from your word that would help us in our everyday life. In Jesus' name I pray and ask, amen. You may be seated. Now, we have an afternoon service at 1:30. And for you that want to stick around, we'll be preaching at 1:30 here in this building as well. We cannot have a 5 o'clock service. It's 1:30 will be in lieu of the 5 o'clock. But this morning, I just want to speak about a fellow. This is a story that you all know pretty well. Memorial Day, it's a celebration of those who died in war, men and women, who today as well serving our country. And the message here, the scripture we read, deals with the story of God calling one man to save Israel. And you find that here the story that goes into God goes into battle, Gideon takes 300 men, and they break the best vessels, and the light shines, and they blow the trumpets, and there is pandemonium and panic among the host. They win the battle against the host of the Midianites, 32,000 men, and they outnumbered Israel 100-1. Now, into that, you know the story how that Gideon followed the instructions of the Lord. And I could just say, stop there for just a minute and ask you, are you following the instructions of the Lord? Are you being heard that God can be able to use you to be able to win some battles. We need some men and women who is able to stand so that can listen to what God has to say and then obey what God tells us to do. One of the lessons that we can learn from this passage of Scripture is that God's true army is always a minority. It's never a majority. You go back and you find that there is never in history where the majority was right spiritually. And even so today, that we are faced with the same thing that as a believers in Christ, as Christians, that we're in a minority. Regardless of whether we like it or not, we still have a battle to win, and we're going to win the battle. I mean, I'm on the winning side. It may not look like it today. It looks like that to seem that the devil and his army has got us outnumbered quite a pretty good number. But hey, God is all powerful. All power is given unto me, and you find that the Lord says, "Go you," and that I'll be with you until the end of the world. And we have that power. He said, "I'll give you the power." We have the power. We talked about it this morning in our Sunday school class that God gives us that as a child of His, the love and the joy comes by being pleasing to God by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Now listen, if you're saved and a child of God here this morning, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. Now into this here, the true army is always a minority. And keep in mind that though that as you look out, you see some things, but keep going back into the days of Enoch, and you talk about the minority. In the days of Enoch, you find that only Enoch and Noah were those that were looking unto the Lord. Now Noah ended up getting six more people along with his wife, eight of them all together, got into the boat. Would you say that was a minority? God had to bring in a flood and destroy the world. Into that, but you find that Enoch got delivered. We know that Enoch was a righteous man. We know that he walked with God, and we know that God just took him. He just walking and talking with God, fellowshipping with the Lord, and the Lord just said, "Well, come on up here." Now, into that, there is into you and I today. You find that God is teaching us to walk with Him. God wants you to walk with Him. God wants you to talk with Him. God wants you to be able to understand the spiritual things that He has in store for you. We belong to Him. God is a holy God. Mark it down. Into that. And God is not going to put up with all of the wickedness that's going on. And you will find that God gets the wrath of God can come in a moment. Let me say to you today that we look at the things around us, and it disturbs us to see that all of the wickedness that we have to deal with. But could I say to you that the minority here is that you find is out of several million people here in our country. Matthew 7:13 says that wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that follow. Narrow is the gate. Now listen, the minority is going to the narrow gate. The majority is following the broad gate that leads us to hell. And into that, you take note that most people today are not following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have a lot of professors. We got a lot of people profess that they are saved. Can I say to you today, you find that in the last days, many will be following false prophets and false Christ. You go out on visitation, on witness, and you will find that what to have people think. You knock on the door, and do you know for 100% sure that you're going to heaven when you die? Well, I belong to Landmark Baptist Church. No, that ain't what I ask you. That ain't the answer. Do you know that if you die today that you're going to heaven? I go to church. That ain't the answer. Well, do you know that if you are saved into that and that your sins have been forgiven, Well, I take communion every day. That ain't what I ask you. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died this very moment, that you have been washed in the blood, that you have been born again, that the Holy Spirit of God dwells with you, and that you know that you are a child of God, that the Holy Spirit of God witnesses unto you, that you are saved, and that you belong to God? Do you know that? And did I say, don't let the devil fool you into that. Don't let the devil and the false prophets cause you to miss heaven and go into a devil's hell. Make sure the day that you know the Lord as your Savior, that you have put your faith and your trust in what Jesus did for you at Calvary, in that He died, was buried, and rose again, in that that's the gospel, and that you believe that God accepted the sacrifice He made. By one sacrifice are we secured. Gideon, your faith is going to be tested. Prove what you are. Your faith in that, you find, why, how would you feel? Boy, if you had started out with 22,000, and God said that that's too many to beat the armies of the Midianites. They're overrunning the place. They got control of things. And Gideon, you've got 22,000 of all of Israel. And you're going to go up, that's too many. I want to cut it down to 10,000. And then God got to thinking, well, that's too many. Because if you take 10,000 and if you should win the victory, then you'll be taking the glory for it. And I say to you this morning that God needs to get the glory of everything that we do. We don't need to look and pat ourselves on the back and say, boy, we did this or we did that. No, because of the grace of God, because of God allowing us to be able to achieve some victories, are we able to do some things. And into that, and you find that here that people go through different periods in their life. And you find that there are many that of God's people will start but will never finish. I've got trying to hurry through here. Many of God's people begin into that. Paul in his 2 Timothy 4 said, I have finished my course. How many of people that profess to know the Lord as their Savior, and they may have, and I'm not questioning whether they're saved or not, but they quit. The easiest thing for you to do is to quit. It doesn't take a whole lot to quit. Oh, you say, well, preacher, I've got sickness. I'll just quit. I've got poverty. I can't meet my bills, or I'm having struggle financially, or if you had the marital problems that I've got, well, you'd quit too. Now listen, can I say to you today that your relationship with God is between you and God?
Amen.
And into that, you cannot excuse some of your actions and your quitting on God because of somebody else.
Right.
I'm not going to quit because Jimmy quit.
Amen.
And Jimmy's not going to quit because I quit.
Amen.
We belong to God into that. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to fulfill what God has called me. He said, get in, come out, and go. And God has called you to come and to go and to get to busy serving God. And He didn't call you to quit. He didn't call you to sit back and to do nothing. God calls that we have a work to be done. We have been inducted into the army of God. And just as those soldiers that went into battle and into that who was willing to yield their life, you and I this morning are soldiers of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died. He paid the price for you and I. And it ought to be, I am not going to quit. Too many quitters.
Yes, sir.
Too many quitters out in the world today. Talk to people about working.
Yeah.
You got people don't want to work today. Too big of it, a turnover. Can't get the work done because don't have the help.
Amen.
We need people that will quit. And by the way, could I say, once you quit one thing, it's easy to quit another.
Yes, sir. Preach it.
And parents, could I say to you, you let your child quit one thing and he's going to equip something else and tell him a little older. There's no... my boys played ball. I played ball. And there was times that you're going to quit. They'd come in and, well, I don't get to play all. I'm better than so-and-so. I need to play more. Now, we've all felt that, haven't we? I always felt I was the best on the field. And I ought to be playing all the extra innings as well, although I probably wasn't, but I felt. But I said, hey, you're not going to quit. You're going to go ahead and you're going to play. You've signed up to play. You're going to fulfill it. And could I say to you this morning is that you let your kids, well, I don't want to go to Sunday school. I'm a teacher. Brother Muncie don't know what he's talking about. Sandy don't know what she's talking about. And Mike surely don't know what he's talking about. Brother Brad, maybe, I don't know. Somebody says they think it sometimes he does. I just think I'll just quit. I'll just go to church. Could I say to you, what is Sunday school? What was it set up for? Some of you used to be faithful in Sunday school. Some of you wouldn't miss a Sunday school. It used to be we'd give out pens, and sometimes we'd have our lapels full with pens of good, not missing. I thank God that for 22 years, if I could go 22 years without missing a Sunday, surely you could go a few years without missing. I get tired of excuses of people that said, well, I've got to, a preacher, I've got to take a little time away. Well, what if God said about this, that if I need to take some time away and I don't want to go to Calvary, if it be thy will, Lord, let this cup pass by. But not my will, but thy will. And many a time into that it gets hard to go sometimes to church. Sometimes it gets hard to teach a class. Sometimes you get tired and burdened down with studying. Sometimes you get burdened down with problems. Sometimes you get burdened down with issues. And could I say to you this morning that, hey, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I've been born again. I belong to Him. And I don't have time. Time is too short. And I'm not going to miss Sunday school. I'm not going to miss church. As long as God gives me the strength to get up and to get out, I'm going to be in God's house. I haven't seen Mike tried to get me to go to the ball game today. I wouldn't go to see the ball game today. Some tried to get me to come to a party. I can't go to party on Sunday. My neighbor would like for me to cut grass. Can I just say something to you? It ain't none of my business. But you don't need to cut grass on Sunday. Well, you preacher, that's the only time I got to cut it. Let your neighbors have some rest. My goodness, don't run the lawnmower. Take the kick back. And if you need it to be cut, call me. Warren will be glad to cut it. We'll get your grass cut. But I don't think a Christian not having business out there pushing the lawnmower on Sunday. Why? Because that's a day we set aside to worship God. That's a day we set aside to just to do what? To meditate and think upon God. Enjoy your family and enjoy the things that God has given you. I got that off my heart. I've been wanting to say that for a while. Can I say that into that? You find that many of God's people, they never finish. And I hope that that's not you. I hope that you... You know what? A soldier that quits in battle, what they do? Burroughs been down in Vietnam country. Some of our older men that used to come, they've been passed on now. One of the fellows that used to come here said he'd... And he talked to me one time about... And in battle, you all get scared. I don't care who you are, you get scared. We criticized a policeman down in Texas because he didn't rush in. Could I say to you, one of us has got a yellow streak in us? Every one of us has got some fear. But the guy said, he told me, he said, preacher, he said, he's got medals, got awarded. But he said, there was a battle that I was the biggest coward that there was there. there was a battle that they were trying to get me to go on in, and I couldn't go. I was too scared. He said, well, that never happened to me. Hey, there's battles in your Christian life that will cause you to turn back if you're not careful.
Amen.
Soldiers that normally in the battle in the military get shot. Today we probably would, they wouldn't do that. But if you was a deserter in war, in times of battle, you were shot down.
Amen.
Could I say to us today, your faith is going to be tested. Prove who you are. And into that, Gideon's army was tested from 22,000 to 300. This shows that God's work will be done by a few. Could I say to you, will you be the one to stand? I can tell you who will be here on Wednesday night. As a pastor, I can tell you who will be here usually on Sunday night. Some of you are going to be here, rain or shine. Some of you will be here regardless of what the weather is or what the conditions are. I don't have to look for you. I know you're going to be here. It ought to be that that could be said of every one of us. The church, as a body of believers, is only strong as the weakest link. Every member of God's church ought to be here, if it's real to you. God loved the church that He died for it. And you and I make up the church. This building is not the church. You and I are the church. We that have been saved and we that have been baptized and organized to carry out the work of God and to take the gospel to the world. Could I say to you today, it's a few. We talk about the minority. It's a few that does the praying. It's a few that does the witnessing. It's the few that does the giving. Could I say to you, God is looking today for those that will stand and those that won't quit. And then real quickly, God is looking for Christians that are alert. Take some men down there, take that 10,000 down to the river, and I want to find out who's going to go into battle. And you know the story very well. They got to go down there, and those that get down on their knees are drinking, they can't go. God only is going to choose those that are alert, those that are going to be willing to listen to Him, those that are going to be in tune to Him. And God takes only 300 out of 10,000 to do a work. I want to be in that number. And so let me say whose God is their belly, whose God is their pleasure, their good times, God's not going to be able to use you much. Our goal should be to please the Lord. And then giving themselves the glory, God is our sole authority to get all the glory on that. If anything gets accomplished, God should get the glory for it. God chooses, by the way, the weapons that He uses. And could I say to you real quickly here, the weapon that God has given us is that old King James 16:11 Bible, the sword of the Spirit. That word, the word of God, is a weapon that God, if you look at that, you mean I've got to go into battle with just a book? Gideon went into battle with a light, with a lantern, a light in that, and a trumpet in one hand, a light in the other. Where's the bazookas at? Where's the machine guns at? You mean, if I was Gideon, say, you mean I got to go face 32,000 Midianites with just a lantern with a light and a trumpet over here? God said, you do what I tell you. You blow the trumpet. You break the lantern and let the light shine, and you find that God can give the victory when it doesn't look like it's impossible. But you take that book there and you can have a successful life. You can raise a successful family. You can be able to enjoy the pleasures of life with that book. God said that the joy and the pleasures are mine. I will and I give it to you. I want you to live a victorious life if you'll stay and follow my word. Joshua said of old, and you and I can say it, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You make a note on that. And so real quickly, a victory, complete victory, is because of the faithful few that did what they were told. Now, what if some got down there, this one group over here, he divided them up in 100. And this 100 over here, and this 100 here, and 100 over here. Now, when we blow the trumpet, you've got to break that to your light to shine. Well, Brian says, I don't believe Gideon knows what he's talking about. I don't think I'll do that. Y'all don't have to do that. And that's what some of you are thinking about right now. You don't have to do what the preacher says. He just rattling off. But I say to you today, Brian didn't break the glass. The light didn't shine. The Midianites got the victory. But no, hey, listen, God's people, it ought to be that, hey, you blow the trumpet, you hold fast to the word of God, and you stand to fight, and you stand to win, and to set forth and give in your life unto God to be able to use. Say, how long, preacher? Well, how long you want to live? As long as you got a voice. You talk about a guy that I admire, Brother Hank. I'm not going to say how old he is, but he's a lot older than I am. But he cuts about 7 yards a week, making the big money. He could quit on a lot of things if he wanted to at his age. But I guarantee you, he still goes to church. I guarantee you, he still tries to worship God on that. I'm saying to you and I this morning, complete victory because of the faithful few did what they were told. And you could be one of those that can be counted on. Now let's close with this, one of my heroes, if I'm going to watch a movie, if there's an Audie Murphy movie on, I'll try to watch it. Audie Murphy was the most decorated soldier. I don't know, most of you know the story of Audie Murphy, a young man, rejected on some of the, I think Navy didn't want him and Marines didn't want him. But a young man that grew up became the most decorated soldier because of his bravery of grabbing a half-track tank, a 50-caliber machine gun. One man was able to hold off for 4.5 hours a battalion of German soldiers. The bravery that he faced with as a soldier, I thought about oftentimes we, as Christians, and being a good soldier, to be able to say, as Paul said, that I have fought the good fight and I have finished my course. This morning, where are you at? Would you be able to be inducted into Gideon's army? Would you be one of the 300 that would be willing to go, even though the odds looked like it was all against you? And you and I, as Christians this morning, as a body of believers, small in number, are we willing to face the world? Are we willing to try to get the gospel to as many people as we can and to try to win as many people as we can to the Lord? I hope that you'll be one of those. I hope that you'll be willing to sacrifice and to be able to one day, as we stand before God, and to give an account of our life, to say, Lord, I did what I could. I didn't quit. Let's stand, please.